Welcome to the View Church Tailview podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives. If you have a testimony which you would like to share with us, please email us at info@viewchurch.co.za. We would love to hear from you. Or if you would like to contribute towards the ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving. You're listening to a message from guest speaker Innocent Matepo.
God has got a story for you that has been written for your life that you're going to walk into because you listened to this message and took it. I want to speak about break the siege. But when I talk about break the siege, I also want you to know that your life can be under siege right now. But the God whom you serve is the God who's called the siege breaker. Yeah. Can we read in the book of, go open the book of Judges? Okay. Am I loud or am I hearing someone? Okay. Oh, I thought somebody else was following what I'm saying. Okay. Let's read from the book of Judges, chapter 6. We're going to read a few verses. We should read the whole chapter, actually, but I'm just going to read some verses and skip some others. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain cliffs, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded their country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel. Neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak. I'm now reading verse 11, by the way. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot. He brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abizrites. That same night, the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height, using the wood of Asherah pole that you cut down. Offer the second bull as a burnt offering." I'll read chapter 8, verse 28. Thus Midian was subdued before the Israelites and did not raise its head again. During Gideon's lifetime, the land had peace 40 years. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died so that we could have this precious word to build our lives and to build us in our faith so that we can connect with God, we can live and be called the children of God, the sons of God indeed, because we are changed and touched and transformed by this word that make us to be what God wants us to be. And this evening, as I pray that, Lord, the things that are in my mind may not block the things that are on your heart, that you would speak through me and that what I speak will be translated in your children's heart as the heart of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. All right. Allow me just 1 second.
Whoa, check that out.
I'm not like Pastor Andre. I don't do this. I've just read a marvelous story, an amazing story of a young man called Gideon. If you've never heard the story of Gideon, it's one of the most amazing stories in the Bible. And it comes at a time when things were difficult. I just like preaching from times that were difficult. In the morning, I was speaking of Moses, who was raised when Israel was in a time of captivity in Egypt. And now I'm talking about Gideon, who God raised up when Israel was in their land, but they were in captivity in their own land. Yeah. Sometimes I can be in our prescribed place that God has put us into, in our positions, in our ministries, but we are in places of captivity. And this evening, I'm speaking about breaking the siege. And sometimes people don't understand. I was doubtful about speaking this message because some of the things and the terms I'm going to use, some of you, I can see you are too young to understand them. But do you know what I believe? I believe the Spirit of God will translate things to you this evening. You will understand them by the Spirit and not by books. Because I believe in the Spirit of God. Jesus says when he comes, he will teach you all things. The Bible tells me in the book of John that you have an anointing upon you. And because of this anointing, you don't need anyone to teach you. You're going to learn things tonight that you would not understand normally. But you're going to understand them by the Spirit of God. Amen. So tonight, as I speak about Gideon, I want to tell you that God spoke to Gideon. And while we read the story of Gideon, we may look at Gideon and think this was a young man who was far from God, not listening to God. But I believe God saw the heart of Gideon was searching for an answer from God. When he meets God, he asks God questions that were not starting at that moment. But those are questions that were in Gideon's heart for a long time. God always looks for people that are looking for answers from him. The Bible tells me that the eyes of the Lord search forth, back and forth on the earth to see those that are careful to observe what God is doing. God speaks to the people of the generation that are looking at fulfilling God's desire for that generation. And you are in this generation for that purpose. And this evening, as I'm speaking to you, I want you to be encouraged by the story of Gideon. You see, we read in the book of Luke that it was in the days when Tiberius was the Caesar, and then there was a man called Herod who was the tetrarch, and then Pontius Pilate was the governor. He is talking about important people. But after he finishes talking about those important people, he makes a statement, and the word of God came to John. Important people were there, but the word of God came to John. You do not have a title of apostle, prophet, pastor, or whatever, but if you are ready and listening to God, the word of God will come to you. There's a message that God wants to send to this generation, but he's just looking to you. John himself testifies in John chapter 1 verse 6, he says there was a man sent from God. When the people asked him, who are you? Are you the Messiah? He says, no, I'm not the Messiah. Because people expected the message that he was bringing to be a message that was coming from the Messiah. But it was coming from a man who had been listening to God. We are seeing Israel at this time. The Bible is telling us Israel is in a time where their enemies have come against them, around them, and surrounded them. A siege is a military term where an enemy surrounds a city in order to stop any entry or coming out. So this is done in order to wear you out, because when you are closed inside, you do not have supplies, you do not have resources, you do not have contact with the outside. And if I were to explain to you that a siege is meant to wear you down and kill you, you would think it was something that happened only in the past. Can I tell you that our nation is under siege right now? Crime has already circulated this community, this nation. Corruption is running riot. Rape, murder. Can we talk about all the evil that is happening? And those things are not going to be solved by hashtags, all men are dogs. Those things are not going to be solved by people raising up banners. Those things are going to be solved because there is a group of people that are listening to God. A hashtag will make you angry, but it will not solve the problem. We need to be a people that bring solutions to our time. And there's no one too young. There's no one too old. Gideon says, how can I do this? I am the youngest and the least from the least of all the tribes here. And some of you are looking at yourself and saying, I'm only still a student. Wait until I get married, then I'll start. Hey, when you get married, you'll have more responsibility. Start now before you get married. I hope our hearts will become heavy for all the funerals that we hear or see or attend, where people are dying without knowing Christ. Because we are called into this generation to also be involved in getting people to know Christ. I'm just reminded of a story of another young man, Nehemiah. Nehemiah got burdened. Nehemiah got troubled by the situation when he was hearing what was happening to his people. It troubled him. He was angry about it. It's about time children of God started to get angry about wrong things. Holy anger. I'm not talking about just anger that has got no direction. I'm talking about holy anger that leads you to your knees to pray and ask God, because there is a response that is going to come from God and it will give you a way forward. So a siege is a military operation in which enemy forces surround a town or building, cutting off essential supplies with the aim of compelling the surrender of those inside. But a siege can also mean a prolonged time or period of misfortune. If we see what was happening to Israel, we see that the characteristics of a siege were: a siege would allow you to plant but not to harvest. They were planting and not harvesting. They were working but not eating the fruit of what they were working for. They were working, but they were working with limited effectiveness. We find Gideon. He is working. He is at the moment where the Bible says Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press. Now that's sad, because a wine press is a smaller space than what you need to press wheat. You need to crush wheat in an open and bigger circle, but he has to be limited. He has to be limited to a small thing. And by the way, hey, do you understand that a wine press is supposed to produce wine and not wheat? Can I put it to you that there are moments and things that are happening in your life and maybe in church where we are supposed to produce wine and we are busy producing wheat? Wine represents the Holy Spirit. There are things of the Spirit that have been blocked because people are looking for bread, which is the wheat. God will translate that to you later. When you start to realize what I'm talking about, I know you. I know that what I'm saying will make sense to you later. There are things of the spirit that are being blocked because we are chasing after bread. We are crushing wheat in the places where we're supposed to be producing the things of the Holy Spirit, the wine of the Spirit. But another thing that we see in this story is that the Bible says the people of Israel were living in caves. What a sad state of affairs. A whole nation, they plant, they instead of harvesting, they go and hide in caves. When they are hiding in caves, this is not a good place. It's not a good place. I was telling you this morning as I was talking about people of destiny, that sometimes people of destiny hide away from taking charge because they believe that all there is to life is what they see. There's more to life than what you see. There's a great deal more that God has planned and purposed for your life. I grew up with a father who was a broken man. I didn't know he was a broken man. I just thought he was a horrible man. But he was a broken man. And it only took God to make me realize that actually I have power to break the legacy of what he had passed on to me. The poverty mindset, the little mindset, the kind of backwardness that was in his mind, I had to forgive him and move on and say, from my generation onwards, this stops now. We need to come to that position where we decide this is enough, it stops with me. And God has given us the power to make that declaration. When children of God start hiding and pushing themselves in caves, it's an indictment upon what God has put in us. God has put in us so much greatness that if we belittle it by hiding it away, we are actually mocking God. We are saying, God, we do not trust what you have given to us. It is not powerful and potent enough to do what you say it can do. Israelites were living in caves. I remember another story in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. The prophets of God were being put in a cave. 100 prophets hiding in caves, 50-50. And someone called Obadiah was feeding them bread and water. When a nation is under siege and crying, they need their prophets to rise up and say, thus says the Lord, this is the way out of the siege. But if prophets are hiding in caves, no one will declare that word. Our world will be destroyed because you, the prophet of God, is hiding in a cave. We have caves of excuses. Oh, I can't serve. You know what? I am not like Pastor Andre. He is gifted for these things. Who says you must be pastor? You have excuses. I can't come to the evening service. I do not have a car that is like a 4x4. You don't need a 4x4. We have such funny excuses about why we cannot. I said in the morning, what you do not have is less important than what you do with what you have. Caves are a dangerous place to be for the people of God. When the world is complaining and crying and making declarations about this is what is right, this is what is wrong, and children of God just hide in caves, we dare not speak because what we say is not regarded. And children of God hide away. We are hiding in caves. The problem with caves is that caves are a dangerous place to be in. And there's another story in the book of Joshua. It's in the book of Joshua chapter 10. There were 5 kings that were fighting against Israel. And when just before they were defeated, they realized that they needed to run away. And they went and hid in a cave. Do you know what Joshua did? Joshua sent people to say, okay, go and close the mouth of the cave. And some of you are now shut inside some caves of excuses. You have been giving excuses so long that these excuses have become a prison now. You are in a prison. The problem with the prison of a cave is that it matures from being just a prison. At first it's just a hiding place. And then it becomes a prison. And then the prison becomes a grave. You stay too long in that cave, it becomes your grave. And God is saying to the children of God, do not allow anyone to make you be apologetic about who you are. Because the things that are attacking our society needs a bold people. It needs a people that have the heart of a lion. Listen to what Judges 6 verse 7 to 10 says. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet. Have you been even cried out to God about the situations around you? Have you been crying out to God about the crime around you? Or you are just, all you do is swear and just make sound. I wish I was Nigerian, I could do that better. Okay. We need to get to a place where we at least cry out to the Lord. Some people, I've met some people that say, when I'm in trouble, I can't even pray. Hey, pray even when you're in trouble. That's the time to pray. Refuse to allow feelings to be the director of whether you pray or not. Yeah. I don't pray because I feel like praying. I pray because it's the right thing to do. Yeah. Can we be people who do the right thing? Just. It says when the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet. He responded. God responds, guys. Oh, but I've been praying. God has not been responding. I'll tell you right now why he's not been responding. You think he's not been responding. He has been responding. And this is what the Lord God of Israel says. I brought you up from out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians. And I delivered you from the hand of your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me. How many times has God given you an instruction and you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to shelve this. This is for later. And when you are under siege, when you are under prolonged suffering, you say, but why is God not hearing me? He says, this thing that you have shelved is the one that is fighting against you. I cannot help you to the next step until you listen to this that I told you before. And sometimes we think God has turned his back on us. No, he hasn't. Sometimes it's because we have become so accustomed to, you know, baby prayers. We want God to answer us at the click of the finger because we want God to use God as a God of convenience. But God says, I will withhold what you are asking for until you develop a heart for me. God wants to have a relationship with you. You see, when in the book of Revelation chapter 2, when he's speaking to the Ephesian church and he's telling them that I know you have persevered. I know you have done good works. You have done great things, but I have this against you. You have lost your first love. He's not talking about a romantic love. He is saying you used to love me. Now you love doing works for me. Your first love is Christ, not the things that you do for Christ. Oh God, but if you bless me this way, I'm going to do this for you. No, love him first and then you can do things for him. But I love that the Israelites prayed. And I also love the fact that God answered. Jeremiah 33 verse 3, call unto me and I will answer you. It's a promise. Remind God, you said call unto me and I'll answer you. And I'll tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. God even sent an angel. And the angel is the one that helped Gideon to find restoration. Because the angel addressed him in a prophetic way and said to him, you are a mighty man of valor. Some of us have been listening to so much negativity. We no longer know who we are in Christ. Can I tell you today that you are beloved of God? That the Bible says God sings over you with rejoicing. God himself, the Father, he says, I have your name written on the palm of my hand. He looks at it as, wow, I love this child. And you are busy, God, why have you forsaken? He says, I love this child. I wish they knew how much I love them. He loves you. He is concerned about you. Your friends could be telling you different stories. Your friends could be telling you, if you only dress like us, maybe we would like you. You're looking for their approval and for them to affirm you. God has already affirmed you. Their affirmation doesn't count. But I love Gideon. Gideon asks a question to the angel. He says, if God is still with us, why has these things happened? You know, God is not afraid to answer that question. And many of you are asking that question. If God is with me, why am I experiencing this? Why am I suffering? Why are things not going the way I want? Why am I not seeing God's help? Why have the miracles stopped? Why has God abandoned me? You are asking all these things about the whys. But God is also saying, I want you to draw closer to me. I want you to show what I have put inside of you. You see, Gideon is a man of faith. Instead of crying at that moment, what does Gideon do? He realizes God has actually responded. And sometimes when God responds, when we do not see it, we do not know what the next step to do. The next step for you is for you to start now moving as a person of faith. Gideon shows that he's a man of faith. Do you know what Gideon does? He hasn't received the answer yet, but he says to the man of God, wait here. I want to give you an offering. Remember, this is a time of lack. They are not having abundance. They don't have abundance. In a time of lack, Gideon gives. And some of us, because we do not have that faith, when you lack, you always hold on. But Gideon gives a sacrifice in the time when he does not have abundance. Where it's not supposed to be that I only give because I have so much, then I'm going to give. Before you even see the answer of what you're praying for, give an offering, give a sacrifice. That's the sign of faith. Gideon makes a sacrifice because he has faith in this God. You see, some of us say, but my faith is little. Yes, give that little faith. What you do not have, give that away. I have little joy. Give joy to someone else. God will give it back to you. Give a sacrifice of what you do not have so that God will give that back to you. Amen. Okay, I think I need to stop here. Judges chapter 6 verse 14, I'll stop there. It says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? I love that God didn't say, Gideon, wait for me. I'm going to increase your power. He says, go in the strength that you have. Go in the strength that you have. Not what you will have. Not what you had. What you have. God, you are praying more power, more of you. You don't need more power. Go in the strength that you have. You are well equipped. You have enough in you. God has placed enough in you to do the upsets that are waiting to happen in your life. Can I challenge somebody who has always had an excuse that I am not yet ready? I have not yet gone to Bible school. I have not yet been. God says to you, I have put enough in you to do what is before you. You are going to do it. Not because you are that good, but because I am that good. Let God shine. Let God shine. Give him his space. Let's stand on our feet. Let's stand. We want to thank God. Can I remind you that you are, as you are there, just like I reminded you this morning, you carry in you the dilemma of many nations. Maybe you've been going through something that has put you under a siege. You have been working, but there's nothing to show for all the work you've been doing. You have been praying, and you kind of don't see the results. You have been studying, but it seems like the more you study, the more you fail. And that siege has to be broken. There's a God who's a breaker of sieges. He can break this siege right now because he is that good. He is God. He never fails. There is nothing too difficult for him. Is anything too hard for God? There is nothing too difficult for him. Your family is going to receive deliverance because you are going to be the one who is used by God to break that siege. Your family siege is broken. Are you going to be gracious? Let me tell you a story of why we do not usually move in the blessing that God has given us. Many of us are carried by other people and other people's situations. Sometimes we are under siege, not because we have sinned. Israel had sinned, but sometimes it's not because we have sinned. Sometimes it's because we have associated with ourselves with the wrong kind of people. Your associations can cause you to be put under siege, that is following them. Lose some of those useless friends that you have. Some of us have accepted that my family has always been like this, so I will also be like that. And you allow yourself to move in that and not believe God who says he can break anything. 2010, Soccer World Cup was about to fall upon us. Some friends of mine, I was still living in Pretoria, some friends of mine and I arranged a match in Limpopo. And we traveled early in the morning to go to Limpopo to play a soccer match. Imagine, we got to a place called Mokopane, and while we were there, we saw something that was amazing. We saw a huge lorry carrying cars. Beautiful cars were stacked there, BMWs, Mercs, all kinds of lovely cars that were there. But they were in the back of this lorry, and the driver stopped. Surprise, surprise, what does he do? There were people looking for lifts. He puts them into the cars that were on top of the lorry. And we were surprised. How can he do that? And indeed, he drove off. As we were talking about it, somebody says, do you see the lesson that is in this? It doesn't matter whether somebody is sitting in the latest GLS or the latest BMW. They can go only as fast as this lorry that is carrying this car. Your siege cannot be broken beyond the things that you choose to associate yourselves with. If you're going to associate yourself with your family history and say, this will be my destiny, you will move according to that. But tonight you can break that and say, I will believe God.
Thanks for listening to this week's View Church podcast.